This is Confessions of a Pastor. A relentlessly real peek behind the scenes of Journey Church in Bend, Oregon. From church in a strip club to a strip mall, going where Jesus would go to reach people Jesus would reach. The good, the bad, and the ugly, all for the glory of God. A journey of misery and miracles. Your hosts are the founders, Pastor Keith and Kara. There really is hope for everyone.
Come on, confessioners, it's that time. It is Confessions of Pastors, and we are your hosts, Keith and Kara, everyone. Hello.
Hi, here we are.
Here we are. Where are we, Kara?
We're kind of in a dungeon, actually. That's how it feels.
Come on, everybody. We're not at home where we normally record this podcast. Instead, we are inside of a real sauna.
I mean, it's not on, but it feels like a cave.
Well, let's go backwards a little bit and describe why we're in a sauna, because Journey ends up in the weirdest locations.
Right? Okay, this is true.
So we were in a strip club turned into sanctuary, yes. And now we're in a former gym, like yes. a workout facility gym. That's what our location was at one point. So all over the building, there are remnants
right.
of what used to be a gym.
Yes, there are. And we're in one of them.
Including the green room where much of the production team is during the services. Those are showers. And where we are right now is now it's a prayer closet.
It is, which is awesome.
It's an intercessory prayer closet that once operated as a sauna.
It did. But God is in the business of redemption, of restoration.
That's right.
Of making all things new. And so I feel like that's just our story is a picture of that. And this is no exception.
Yes. We don't often get the brand new and beautiful, but we get the redeemed, the rescued.
Yes,
we get the ashes turned into beauty. We get to see
Amen.
God do a redemptive story. So here we are. We are in the sauna, everyone. It's like a cave. You know, it's about, I don't know, 5 foot, 10 inches tall. I mean,
yeah, and by about 5 feet wide.
Yes.
Actually, it feels like a shipping container. That's what I feel like. Yeah,
like a mini shipping container. Yeah. Yes. With no windows, the door is shut. So right. if and, we don't
we
get out.
We just decided to do something different, yes. not record in our home.
Yes. So. In fact, our youth record a podcast here. So we took over their space on this day. Happens to be the week after Easter, everyone. So we are recovered from the holy hangover.
Yes.
But we have had quite a week this week, haven't we?
We have had 1 week. Yes, we have.
Yes, it started with the Holy Hangover after an incredible Easter weekend with a Good Friday service that completely surprised us. Mm. We thought it was going to be just a small group of people getting together like a living room. But man, tons of people came out to the Good Friday service, heard yeah. a lot of positive things, like just people saying that was powerful. And what was powerful was not necessarily that we did anything exceptional, but it was just God was there.
He was. And I actually feel like maybe it was powerful because it was so understated. I actually was just at Starbucks right before this, and okay. I ran into someone that came to that service.
Awesome.
Did not come to Easter because it's always, you know, like Easter is Easter, right? A big shebang. Okay.
They didn't come
to
church because of Easter.
That's correct. That is correct. This is not a joke.
Okay.
But she and her family came to the Good Friday service because it's a little more raw.
Okay.
So she loved it.
Wow.
She was thankful for it. And it was an interesting conversation.
Wow. I mean, it's so interesting because life is so full of preferences.
Yes.
Just because you like something doesn't mean somebody else likes it and vice versa. That's so interesting. So it was a powerful night. We did a communion together at the end of the night.
Yeah.
The staff shared. I mean, the underdog that night was Journey's intern, Jordan.
Oh, man. He killed it.
Yes. I mean, he just blew us away. Just he continues to mature and grow in his faith. And there was a shift in the atmosphere after he just shared.
Yeah, God has a calling and an anointing on his life that he's just barely getting started.
Amen. I love it when God takes the underdog. And then, of course, there was Easter, which we'll talk about more in just a moment. But here we are now, post-Easter, and our lives have not slowed down at all.
No.
I mean, it's been wild. Monday was April 1st. April Fool's Day.
Yes.
I told our son, he started off the day, he's drinking his coffee. I said, son, why don't you just take the day off and just relax? And he's like, really, Dad? And I was like, April Fool's.
He was so mad.
I was like, no, you're not going to take the day off of school. But that was, so we started off the week there, but we've got two sick ones at home. Both of our daughters have been sick.
Yeah, I was in the ER with our oldest, McKenna, for quite a few hours the other night. She does have pneumonia. But thankful for treatment, and I think she's slowly getting better.
We were supposed to be at the rodeo that night.
Right?
We were going to go to the bull riding rodeo with the Buhners, who got us tickets, and I had to cancel minutes beforehand because McKenna wasn't getting better. She was getting worse. And so you went and hung out for a few hours.
Yeah, at in the ER. That was fun.
Yeah, tell us about that.
I mean, it's quite the experience. It's the second time I've ever done it. And the first time was also with her. That time was at, it was on the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And there were some crazy characters in there. I mean, there were people in there that were painted from head to toe.
Oh, wow.
For, I don't know, the parade that we do in town or, mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, this was not like that. But okay. There is a whole variety of people that come in. In fact, one mom came in with a little boy who had fallen. Mm. He had been in his dad's house. He was maybe 2 or 3 and he had fallen and his knees were buckling. And I don't know. I just start praying for him because I have no idea what happened, but it's a unique place. Yes. So 4 hours later, we walked out. She got a round of IV antibiotics and a couple prescriptions, and I think we're slowly seeing some healing.
So she has a pneumonia.
Yeah, she has pneumonia.
Which is one of the weirdest words in the English vocabulary. I've been corrected on about 15 times over the last few days. Pneumonia, everybody. Not plural pneumonias or anything else. But so she's got pneumonia, but she is on the men's recovering. It's been a wild week, and here we are now. Let's talk about what God's been doing lately.
Yes.
Because we've been hearing some really God-sized stories.
In fact, we have been.
Just got back from lunch with a Ukrainian family and just heard God-sized stories
of
healings over FaceTime from Ukraine to Bend, Oregon, that we have an omnipresent God that can meet us anywhere.
And he seems to really use certain people too, I feel like.
Well, all it takes is faith.
Yeah.
It doesn't
pure faith.
It doesn't take credentials, education, money, good looks, health. What it is faith. Jesus proves that over and over. After someone would be healed, he would say, your faith has made you well, or your faith has saved you.
Yes.
It is belief in him and who he is, what he's done.
And then interestingly, we see the story of the friends lowering someone down to Jesus.
Paralytic.
So it's like
through
almost the friend's faith too.
Come on. Yes. And so we're seeing story after story. So we'd love to share a few of those with you from Sunday because they're awesome. I mean, we had a first ever at Journey, which is wild because we've had some weird, wild stories, but it was at the end of the service. I gave an invitation for anyone to accept Jesus. Hands went up all over the room. We give out a booklet for those who are new to the faith or just received Jesus for the first time. And then we have a prayer team up in the front, like at the front of the stage. We call it a platform. So at the front of the platform. And one of our pastors told me, I believe Pastor Brad is praying with someone on FaceTime. And we didn't know the story. And it was Pastor Noah that told me, I think Pastor Brad's praying with someone on FaceTime. I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. After the service, Kara, we found out that a guy gave his life to Jesus on Easter Sunday watching Journey Church from prison.
Yes.
So, go ahead.
His friend, whoever it was, this woman, had her phone on and she was orienting it towards the service the whole time.
Yes.
And then she's the one that brought him up to Pastor Brad at the front to have him pray.
Come on.
And it was all over her phone. He's in prison. She's in person in the house.
And he, as Pastor Brad described it, is in one of those booths that has like the, bulletproof glass, and he's on one of those phones that's wired. So he's got to be listening to the church service through a wired phone in a booth thing. So he obviously had some time.
He was just listening.
Yes.
There was no video.
No, there was video. Somehow, I think somebody else had a FaceTime on the other side.
Oh, crazy. Maybe somebody that was visiting him. Okay.
I mean, this story is so wild. He gives his life to Jesus. I mean, I looked over, I was across the room, and I'm watching Pastor Brad, and he's got the phone in his hand, and you can see that it's lit up, like there's somebody FaceTiming, and he's using his hand almost like he's, you know, prophesying or pointing, you know, he's speaking into him. And later, of course, we find out he's asking him questions. Do you understand the decision you just made to trust in Jesus? And he ended up praying with him. And this guy gets saved Easter Sunday from prison.
So good.
I mean, that's a first for me, Kara. First of all, that someone from prison on Easter Sunday. Second of all, from the phone. And now we've heard testimonies from people who saw this person doing this. In fact, she was in the overflow room.
For most of the service,
I believe. For most of the service, because we had 611 seats. They were packed out that service. Every seat was filled. So the overflow was filling up. And people were kind of annoyed. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, it was a distraction because they were trying to watch the service on this large screen. Mm. And she's in the front.
Oh, yeah. Pastor Leanne was in the room. And
she was the host.
Yeah. Yes. So she actually mentioned that it was loud on the prisoner's end. And so it was distracting for people because you could hear it through the phone.
The prisoner was asking questions and you could hear the background of other prisoners.
Yeah, exactly.
Wild. So that was an awesome story.
It was awesome.
I mean, this is the power of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. He can save anyone, anywhere, at any time.
Amen.
Praise be to God. That's what he does. He saves and rescues even in prison. Now, another cool story, Kara, is I just love this one that our kids got to experience, and many, many different superheroes, that's what we call our volunteers, got to experience as well. Mm-hmm. And that was someone just driving by and they saw the bounce houses.
Yes.
And they didn't know that we were even a church. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't associate that it was Easter Sunday. So it was a dad with his son. And his son, as he was walking in the church, was yelling, "This is the best day ever!" Not knowing that it was Easter, nor that he was stepping into church. And so one of our pastors actually led them back to our kids' ministry. They had to get his information. And the dad was like, "Oh, wait, why do you need my phone number? Why do you need our names?" And they explained, "Well, if there's an issue, we're going to text you and we're going to get a hold of you." And an issue? "Well, what do you mean there'd be an issue?" "Well, we're going to take your son." And he had no clue in concept what he was engaging in with us, that he was at church.
Right.
And so he stayed with his son. They had to make some exceptions to our rules as he stayed with the son for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes back there, because church had already started by the time he came in. The son is freaking out, loving every minute of what's going on. Well, a few of the superheroes, these adults, ended up leading him towards our auditorium.
Yeah.
Well, before they got there, one of them said, "Hey, would you like a coffee or some donuts?" And his comment, he paused, looking around in slow-mo, looking around the room. And these were the words that came out of his mouth, Kara. "I never thought I would ever be in church."
Yeah.
Those were his words.
Yeah.
Like, literally, God drew him into church that day from his own child. And he's looking around and he's like, "I never thought I would be in church." Now, he ended up in our auditorium at the end of my message, just in time to hear the altar call. Mm-hmm. Now, he did not raise his hands. We don't even know the story of what happened there. But he stayed and heard the altar call. His kid got to experience church. Praise be to God that God is drawing people into church and they don't even know why.
Yeah, amen.
They don't even know that it's Easter Sunday or what that's all about.
Well, you were describing the week leading up to Easter. I mean, I don't know if I should go here or not, but you were just talking about some distractions. Okay,
we
definitely had some distractions.
Yes.
But you were talking about a specific distraction that was across the street from Journey, looking towards church and towards your office and yelling for what, over an hour?
Yes. So that was, man, that was the week. Was that the week leading up to Easter?
It was the week leading up to Easter, yes.
I thought that was the week before. Either way, because, I'll tell the story. I was working on my sermon because there have been a lot of distractions. We've had a difficult few weeks.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of private things. There's been sickness in our house, like Kara mentioned, going to urgent care and then going to the ER. There's just been one thing after another in a lot of different ways where we have genuinely been trusting in God.
Yeah.
Just with the purity of just trusting God, examining our hearts. Mm-hmm. So here I'm trying to work on my message. It's been a week of distractions. I've had a really hard time focusing, which I already do already, but I'm trying to focus. I'm trying to work on my sermon. It's pouring down rain.
Yeah.
I want to set the stage. I'm in my office. It's pouring down rain. I've got a corner office upstairs at the church, and I hear loud, like yelling, like it sounds like someone's on TV. Like it sounds like someone's watching television, and it's very audible, but I can't really make out what's being said or where it is. I thought it was out in the office space. So I open up my door, I walk out there, and there's all the staff there and everything, but it's not that. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, nobody's watching TV or anything. So I go back in my office. I could just hear it and I can't focus. I can't study. It's like, it just continues and continues. I open up my window, it's pouring rain, and I see, a printer repair guy who's in his van preparing to come into Journey to fix our printer, mm-hmm. because of course the printer would die the week of Easter. And he's getting some things, but he's looking towards the road because he's, and so I noticed that, okay, it's not out in our parking lot. So then I look out another window, which faces Third Street, and across the street is Columbia Sports and Nike, and there's a bus stop there. And there is a guy on the sidewalk looking towards my office, towards Journey Church, with his hands over his mouth, like making like his own bullhorn.
Yeah.
Screaming towards Journey Church. Mm. I mean, screaming. And you can tell he's angry. Mm. It's pouring rain, so he's soaking wet. And he's just shouting. Now, I can't tell what he's shouting, but it is clear. I mean, it's got to be towards Journey, even though there's other businesses in our strip mall.
Yeah.
There's Harbor Freight Tools. There's Ashley's Lottery, which is like a cafe that does lottery. And of course, there's Goodwill. But here I am trying to study the Word of God. And there is a guy that is absolutely shouting. I mean, he clearly wasn't right. Yeah, I mean, he was speaking in his right mind because it was freezing cold. It was pouring rain, and something was going on.
Yeah.
And I believe that this guy was shouting something towards Journey Church. I believe it was something demonic.
Yeah.
Because I believe God was even keeping him, that he could have crossed the street.
Yes.
He easily could have crossed the street. He easily could have been in our parking lot, but something was even preventing him. I pray regularly over this physical place.
Yeah.
Not just the building. I pray over the parking lot. I pray over this entire space physically.
Yeah.
That the glory of God would be so great that people would be repenting before they even walk in the door. There'd be healing before they even get prayed for.
Amen.
That there would be something evident that this place is different as it was with Moses and a burning bush. It was holy because of God's presence.
Amen.
This is a holy space. So it was a week of distractions, a week of difficulty, a week of just demonic. And,
you
know, God led me to preach a message I've never preached before on Easter, let alone just a regular Sunday. And that was birthed out of us going through the Bible in a year.
Your message was?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, so let's go there. So you talked about deliverance. Mm-hmm. You know, the theme of Easter was delivered. We had a wall in the lobby area.
Come on.
Where we got to leave our the things that we've been delivered from on the wall.
Praise God.
Which is super powerful and awesome. Yes. So maybe
let's go through some of those. I mean, it spans the spectrum what people wrote on there. They've been delivered from addictions. They've been delivered from trauma. They've been delivered from past divorce. They've been delivered from suicide. Mm. I mean, there was
all kinds of things.
So many different things. In fact, I'm gonna go take some more pictures and a little video in front of that before we leave today, because it is a powerful testimony of what Jesus alone can do.
Yeah,
he definitely delivers.
He does, and I've been thinking too. I think. It's also important to recognize that we've been delivered of so much, but I think there's still so much that we need to be delivered from.
Amen.
Right?
Well, so that's why I did this message.
Yeah.
God's really pressed upon my heart, especially this year leading into 2024. And we've processed this on this podcast, just our own maturity and growth and understanding the Lord even greater in Scripture, believing fully in the Word entirely, but then also trusting in the Holy Spirit. And just as you grow, you get to know the power and the authority of who God is and what that means in our lives.
Absolutely.
As Paul would constantly talk about the indwelling of Christ, in Christ, in Christ, that we have the power of God in us, that is the person of God, the Holy Spirit. And just as we understand that and learn about the life of Jesus, I think the frustration both of us have had is what we see in the life of Jesus is not what we've always witnessed in the American church.
Yes.
At least that we've experienced.
Yes, absolutely.
I call my own experience, the churches I've been involved with, I would describe them as safe churches.
Yes.
So they talk about Jesus, they talk about salvation, you worship through song, but it's so safe. You don't really talk about the demonic, You don't really talk about casting demons out, which you read about in all four of the Gospels frequently.
Regularly.
You don't really talk about signs and wonders and miracles, even though you see it frequently with Jesus. And so it's like, I've been almost sheltered in this safe Christianity. Exactly. Right? I mean, that's the best way I could describe it. But it's not safe because people are still dealing with depression, darkness, addiction. They're still oppressed. And many of them are afraid to say something because they have to look like they've got it figured out.
Right.
Meanwhile, they end up either getting divorced or having private addictions from pornography to alcohol to, I mean, frequently marijuana use is heavy even amongst Christians. And so all of these things that I've experienced as a pastor and as a person that follows Jesus, and I've been frustrated with.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the things that you said in your message, I believe it was a quote, I don't remember who it was, but essentially like the enemy wants nothing more than to think that he doesn't, for us to think that he doesn't exist.
Yes.
Like he wins if we turn a blind eye to this.
Yes. As long as we don't believe in the fullness of the devil or demons or the demonic or principalities, as Paul calls them in Ephesians chapter 6, this army of dark spirits, as long as we're not even like fighting it or aware of it, then the devil's duped us.
Yeah, completely.
We have been deceived.
Yeah.
So our last few years, we've been vocal about this on this podcast, is we've grown tremendously and we're not alone. I mean, there's a movement of God around the world right now in his church. And I believe because Jesus is coming soon. Jesus gave a parable of 10 virgins and he warned that they ought to have their lamps filled with oil because they know not the hour the groom is going to show up. And many of them were unprepared. And the oil represents the Holy Spirit, this anointing of God that we've got to be a prepared people. And I think God is doing something spectacular through the church today. So as we're reading through the Bible in a year, we started off the year, we were going through the Gospel of Mark, the life of Jesus told in Mark. And I get to the resurrection story and Mark just simply put in Mark 16, verse 9, it says the first person on that resurrection day was Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
Whom Jesus had cast out 7 demons.
Yeah.
It was just one verse. And I just paraphrased Mark 16, verse 9. And I was like, wait, that is powerful.
Yeah.
First of all, Jesus reveals himself to a woman, which was absolutely unusual, peculiar, and improbable in the time of the Jewish culture 2,000 years ago at that time. I mean, it just that's alone amazing. It was a woman. Number two, this was a woman that had been labeled. She had been identified in her world as a woman with 7 demons. Count them 7. The number 7 in scriptures, at least in the Hebrew culture, is the number of wholeness or completion. She was completely delivered by Jesus. Mm. So she'd obviously been tormented. She'd obviously had demons in her life that were destroying her, and Jesus set her free. That amazed me to me because what I've witnessed, Kara, in my faith is we talk about salvation, but we don't talk about deliverance.
Yes.
So people can be saved, but not delivered.
And still live in shackles.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I shared another quote that I actually heard from someone else. It was from Rosa Luxemburg, who stood against socialism at a time where she was an underdog. And it was, those that don't move don't know they're in chains.
Yeah.
And I'm paraphrasing that just because I don't have the direct quote in front of me. But it's like, as long as you don't even know you're in chains, as long as you're not moving, as long as there's not like, I want to break free from this, you don't even know you're shackled in chains.
Yep.
I think a lot of people are tormented by the demonic and they don't even know it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that I totally agree. And I think that was essentially your message on Sunday planted the seeds of this is real. And we are at war with the demonic and maybe, you know, prayerfully it planted seeds of like, a little bit of a revelation of, you know, why I've been tormented for so long, why I can't seem to, break through the addictions or the depression or the trauma that I haven't healed from, like maybe start to plant some seeds because we, as the American church, we really don't talk about this. And so I feel like you're breaking new ground by even making it like normalizing it.
Mm. Well, that's the goal. And I want to do more than plant seeds. I want to see people set free and sanctified.
Yes.
Like, I want to see people going from where they are, not just believing in Jesus, where they're justified and forgiven of their sins, but now they're operating in the freedom of deliverance.
Yes.
Where, like Mary Magdalene, you could say, I I've been set free. You know, we can testify. I had seven demons, but they're gone. I've been delivered of those demons.
This reminds me of the passage that I brought up with you a few times in Matthew. I want to say it's 17 or 18.
No, it's earlier than that.
Is it? Okay. That speaks of essentially when demons are being cast out,
yes,
the kingdom of God is at hand.
Come on.
I'm gonna
find it because we got to go there because the reference is Jesus is being... accused, accosted, persecuted from the religious for casting out demons. And they're actually saying, you're only doing this by Beelzebub, which is the prince of demons, if you will. It's Matthew 12.
Thank you.
And so here they are criticizing Jesus. And this is often what happens when God's at work. The people who aren't doing the work of God or the people that haven't been delivered are the ones that are going to criticize the most. And in this case, they're essentially claiming that Jesus is demon-possessed himself or in this case, oppressed. Let's look at the whole scripture because, I mean, so good. Starting with verse 22, then a demon-oppressed man was blind and mute. What translation do you have over there, Kara? Is that the ESV?
That's
the
ESV.
So it's the same translation. Yeah. So you know, there's a big difference between demon possession and demon oppression.
Yes.
So many times we get our theology from Hollywood. It's all about possession, possession, possession. The reality is we don't see that in scriptures. We see people demonized. We see them oppressed by demons. What that means is we're held back by demons. We're being lied to. We're being we're being oppressed through sickness or through thoughts. They can't read our minds. They can't control our actions, but we certainly can be so influenced by them that our whole lives are ruined. So a demon oppressed man, I'm in Matthew 12:22, who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus and he healed him. You just see how natural this is. There's a healing physically. There's a healing spiritually so that the man spoke and saw. Mm. And all the people were amazed and said, can this be the son of David? That's a title reserved for the Messiah, a greater king of David. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, it is only by Beelzebul that the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons. So here we got critics criticizing what Jesus is doing.
Yeah.
We can relate to that. And that's a religious spirit there.
Oh, yeah.
It's a spirit that doesn't want to see people set free, healed, and delivered.
That's a demonic spirit.
It is a demonic spirit. And yet it laces itself in religion.
Yes.
So often they don't even know it's demonic.
Yes, I agree.
We can call it a spirit of religion, a pharmaceutical spirit. There's a whole slew of different things. A spirit of pride. Knowing their thoughts, it says in Matthew 12:25, Jesus said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. And no city or house divided against itself will stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then will this kingdom stand? Here it comes, Kara.
Yeah.
And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if, and here it is.
Yeah.
If it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, which he just did cast out demons. So if it's by the Spirit of God, that is capital S, everyone, the Holy Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you.
Yes.
So we know the kingdom of God has come when people are delivered from demons.
From demonic. Absolutely.
This is straight out of Jesus' own mouth that we actually have authority over demons because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the name above all names,
amen.
Because of the person of who God is, the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And Jesus goes on to say, the only sin that will not be forgiven is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It will not be forgiven because we are forfeiting the power, the authority, and the person of God through the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But when we give God full authority over our lives, when we give Jesus legal authority over every darkness and principality, that is a demon. You can call it whatever you will. These are just fallen angels that are seeking to destroy us. We get to see the kingdom of God at work.
Yeah, absolutely. The kingdom of God is at hand when this is happening. And
come on.
I shared in the staff meeting on Tuesday that I just can't shake this phrase that I feel like this is what we're doing. And and it's that, you know, we're plundering the kingdom of darkness.
Come on.
And that's, I think that is what we're what we're doing right yes. now. And in the stories of what we, even what we shared at the beginning of this, of people literally coming in off the street that are, these are not church going people.
Come on.
These are not your Christian people. Like,
come on.
By your message of deliverance, like that's what we're doing. And the enemy hates it.
Yes. If he did it with Mary Magdalene, imagine what the enemy tried to do with her. He tried to destroy her life. He tried to stop her. Jesus sets her free.
Yes.
And now she's mentioned so much in the New Testament.
Yes.
I mean, she's become a hero of faith that is often an unsung hero. Mm. We rarely preach about her at Easter, even though she's mentioned in all four Gospels,
yeah.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as being there at the foot of the cross yeah. when Jesus was crucified, being there at the tomb at his death and burial because right. she cared for him. And then, of course, being the first one whom Jesus called out her name, Mary.
Yes.
And she called back, Rabboni, my teacher, my rabbi. Instantly, Jesus revealed that he loves women, that he liberates people. He doesn't give them the same titles or same
labels.
Yeah, labels or identification that this is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
This is who you will always be. That plundering the darkness comes from the next verse, Kara, mm-hmm.
yeah.
in Matthew 12:29. How can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his good unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house.
Yeah.
It's like we've been given full authority over the devil
mm-hmm.
and now we get to go take, this is yes. what Jesus says in Matthew 16, is that the gates of hell won't prevail yes. against the church.
Yes.
Gates are to stop you. Hell has a gate there to try to stop us yeah. from going in
yeah.
and getting the people that the yeah. devil has stolen.
And that's what we're doing.
So we are plundering the darkness.
We are, yes.
we are going in and saying,
yes.
you might be called an addict. You
yes.
might be called divorced. You
yeah.
might be called depressed. But we are yeah. believing you can be
absolutely.
Delivered in Jesus' name.
Yeah, and you might have lived under trauma your whole life or
come
oppression
on.
Your whole life.
And molestation in our world. So many Americans are sexually molested as children, and it has traumatized their life. They hold it back as a secret because the devil is a liar.
Yeah, yeah, and he wants things to stay in the darkness.
Yes.
So when we bring them to light, there's healing.
Healing.
There's freedom.
He binds the brokenhearted.
Yes.
He brings back the fragmented parts and brings healing. That's
yes,
what that
and
means.
Absolutely.
Praise
and
God.
We, all we want to do is partner with Jesus in this.
Amen.
Because I literally like nothing more than when I hear someone tell me that they've been set free, that they are no longer bound by the things that bound them.
Yes.
And I just, that's great. It's awesome.
Well, there's a new life. Jesus says in John chapter 3 that those who receive and believe in him are born again. That literally means born again. That
yes.
means you don't live in your past.
Yes.
You literally have a new destiny.
Yes, amen.
And by the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5 describes that fruit, the byproduct of walking with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. You have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all the things we're robbed of
yes.
through what the enemy sought to destroy, God ends up turning around for good.
Yeah.
And then we're able to actually comfort other people that are going mm-hmm. through it. And that's what mm-hmm. we're starting to see right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
People are actually using it for good. But I'll tell you, the devil is a liar, Kara, because our church, we have so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have been set free from chemical addiction.
Yes.
I'm referring to alcohol, hard narcotics, meth, heroin, fentanyl, and much,
yes.
much, much, much more. We had a nasty email on Monday from someone that said they had a bad experience at Journey Church on Easter because their sister-in-law was talking to someone. They described it this way: as someone behind the table, she mentioned that she goes to NA, and she, the way that this person described in the email is she was shamed and condemned for going to NA as if it was something wrong. And then he went on to threaten us without actually giving any like probable, like, here's what you could do to make this better or anything like that. But he just said, I know people in this community and I know people that work at KTVZ. I'm making this news go public.
Mm.
And it was like the enemy was trying to discourage on a Monday after
yeah.
Easter. And I'm like, wait
that
a second.
That doesn't even sound like anything our people would say.
Well, no. And I'm not saying it didn't happen,
yeah.
but the person that oversees our hospitality, she's at least 80% or more of those people that serve
yeah.
are involved in recovery groups
yeah.
because they are recovering addicts mm-hmm. that are no longer addicts. So she's like, that yeah. doesn't make sense because no. many of them go to NA. Yeah. They go to AA.
Yeah.
You know, NA, if you don't know, is Narcotics Anonymous, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. And so she's like, this doesn't even make sense. So she's like, she reached out to him. I don't believe he reached back after that, but essentially it was like, listen, if this happened, first and foremost, we are so sorry because yeah. that is abnormal at Journey. But isn't that just like the devil to literally try to steal right after the word of God has been implanted that you can be delivered. After that service, yeah. the devil comes in like a bird trying to snatch the seed, saying like, oh, this isn't true. This isn't real. Yeah, you can't right? be delivered. This is a place of condemnation, judgment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that this is who you will always be. That's exactly who the devil is. Revelation says that he's an accuser day and night. He just tries to derail God's plans.
Yeah, he does.
But I declare he hasn't.
Yeah,
I amen. Rebuke the enemy amen. Right now.
Yes.
You are a defeated foe. We are the head and not the tail.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
We are the lender, not the borrower. Yes. We are believing God's best. I'm a child of God. Mm-hmm. So we're believing right now, even right now in the name mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ, that woman who was lied to by, mm-hmm. by however, whomever that was, that would be made right in Jesus' mm-hmm. name. That God, we just come before you in the middle of this podcast and declare, Lord, you have victory and authority over everything. So that which the enemy lied to, we speak truth in Jesus' name, that this person is healed, they're delivered, they're set free. And whatever that was, the confusion that was brought into her life, that would be eradicated even from the building of Journey Church, that don't no lie of the enemy would enter into this space and this place, because you're the way, the truth, and the life. All we want is more of you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry for that prayer moment. I just wanted to believe right now that God's best in every single area.
Yeah, amen.
Well, can we tell some more stories?
Sure.
I talked to Ken Buhner this week, and we call him our great evangelist here. He told me there's probably 3 rows of people that he invited to Easter service.
Easter. Wow.
I just love that he's constantly passing out invites, and he invites absolutely everyone. It impacts so many different people. And one of the people that he brought was just someone he's been inviting for a long time, and finally she came, and he let me know that at the end of the service she got a new believer's Bible. And so he's been inviting over and over, and now she's got the greatest gift of all, God's word.
Praise God.
And I'm just like, the power of an invitation.
Yes.
You never know the invitation that someone needs, and that could literally change their life.
Yes.
So not only does she come and get the word of God, he was telling me another story where, you know, he's got so many projects going on all over Central mm-hmm. Oregon. He's in the construction industry, and he was, I believe, in Prineville, and he just asked a subcontractor, I believe, mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm getting the story accurate, but asked this person, so what are your plans on Easter? So friends, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Here's how you invite someone to church. And you could say, what are your plans this Sunday? So he, what are your plans on Easter? I don't know. Not much plans. Okay. Then he followed up with that question. Well, do you go to church? Oh, I haven't been to church in a long time. It's been so long. And he goes on to tell the story. Ever since I got divorced, and anyways, I haven't been back at church. And so he went to his truck, grabbed an invitation for church, and just said, hey, well, if you don't have plans, join us. Mm-hmm. And told him all about Journey Church and Ben. Mm-hmm. So he goes on to tell him all this. And that was just so simple. Any one of us can do that.
Yeah.
What are your plans this Sunday? Oh, not much. I don't even know yet. Well, do you go to church? No, I don't really go to church. Oh, great. How about you join me? And then whatever your church you go to, invite them to your church.
Yeah.
And so he just did that. He didn't expect to see him. Well, he was serving at one of the services mm-hmm. in our kids.
Yeah.
And he looks out in the lobby, and lo and behold, guy he invited.
That's amazing.
He came.
Yeah.
How cool is that? It's been more than 5 years since that guy came to church.
Wow.
He's been through a lot of brokenness. And you could imagine a lot of lies that would be in his mind of how people might judge him, who he is, what he's been through. I don't even know, but I just know that for each of us, we get our own preconceived notion. But he came to church.
Awesome.
The power of an invitation.
Yes.
That person I was just sharing with you that grabbed the Bible, she had not been to church in 20 years.
Wow.
So he said he did the math, and he's like, wow, she was 14 the last time she was in church.
Oh my
goodness.
And
she grew up Catholic. So like, she's never experienced anything like this.
Yeah.
And so now,
well, I think we had quite a few people like that in mm-hmm. here on Easter. I mean, I think every week we do, but on Easter it was magnified because I looked out and saw many examples of that, of family members, of spouses that don't ordinarily came that I've never seen step foot in the church. So seeds were planted.
Our kids would talk about that as well, because when you're a new family at Journey, the kids get a bright orange ticket. The sticker that has their name on it, and it gets put on them, and every kid has a sticker with their name on it. But the new ones have bright orange stickers. If you've been coming to Journey more than once, you get a white sticker with your mm-hmm. name on it. So that way it identifies yeah. to those who are there that you're new. Now, we don't tell them
yeah.
the difference. We don't say we're labeling you as new with your orange ticket, but more than half the kids, I'm making that number up, but many of the kids had the bright orange, mm-hmm. many of them. So here we had 500 kids
yeah.
on Easter, and so many of them are coming for the first time. And this was all of our superheroes and staff were talking. This was a spring break week.
Yeah.
I mean, as you said earlier, a family decided not to come on Easter because it was Easter.
Yeah.
I mean, and there was people all over the country, you know, enjoying their spring break. So we know that Journey Church family members didn't come to church, but we know new people did
yeah.
come to
oh,
church.
Oh, yeah. We had tons of them.
Praise God.
Yeah.
And now we're just praying that yes. they come back.
Yeah.
That they'll experience a second visit and understand that they get to be a part of the family of what yeah. God's doing.
And also, I would just say some praises that came out were between our adults and our Journey kids. We had over 100 people raise their hands for Jesus.
Come on.
So say yes to Jesus, which
Let's
is
go.
Awesome.
Yes.
I know Journey Redmond had over 100 people
Amen.
Raise their hands to say yes to Jesus.
Praise
so
God.
Thank you, God. There's a movement happening here
Amen.
In Central Oregon that I'm just so thankful to be a part of.
It's so true. I mean, we had on our Easter weekend over 2,500 at those four services, five services. Journey in Redmond had three services mm-hmm. and a Good Friday. So they mm-hmm. had four services. And they had 1,800.
That's awesome.
So if you were to combine, what's 2,500 plus 1,800?
4,300-ish. Somewhere in there, yeah.
Between just the two churches. Just think about the power
yeah.
of multiplication.
Yeah.
That church is only 4 years old. We planted them 4 years
yeah.
ago. So
that's
over,
God's math.
Over 4,000
yes.
came to church on Easter.
Amen.
More than 200 saved on Easter.
That's so good to reflect on, too, because every now and then I think, you know, what would Ben be like if Journey wasn't here?
Wow.
And so to hear those type of, you know, statistics is awesome. It's really encouraging because sometimes the enemy does come after us and tell us lies.
Yes.
So those type of things do encourage me.
Oh, absolutely. Because when you're in the trenches and you're dirty and you're fighting a fight, sometimes you forget the good stories because
mm-hmm.
you get distracted and it's hard and it's dirty and, you know, it's painful at times. But I will tell you, the testimonies I hear of people who have never been a Journey, oh, I've heard good things about that church.
Yeah.
Or just,
yeah.
We just broke ground to expand our space on our current location.
Mm-hmm.
We currently have 28,000 square feet. We got an additional 10,000 to
yeah.
open up our auditorium, make it larger and do more kids' classrooms. And I heard from our electrician who's a Journey family member here, that he brought in someone for fire alarms
mm-hmm.
to begin that process for the renovations. And this person flat out ask him, will you go to this church? And he's, yeah, I go to this church. Well, aren't you supposed to invite me to church then?
Right.
He literally was proactive and said,
yeah.
why haven't you invited me? You know, and then they went on in this conversation and he says, well, are you going to invite me? And then he's like, well, now you're making me feel guilty for it. Okay. Yes. Do you want to come to church? And he's
That's
like,
hysterical.
And then he responded with, I'll be at church this Sunday.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it was that easy. Like
yeah.
it's so powerful that people know and want to be a part of church.
Yeah, it's true. And I think we have to, like, I'll speak for myself. I have to get past the nervousness of mm-hmm. what are they going to say? You know, like I had my hair cut the day after Easter. So on Monday.
Okay.
And this is the second or third time I've gone to her and she's cut Colton's hair, which is our son. And I just really like her. I'm just really drawn to her. And so we start having this conversation. We talk about Easter weekend and she was in Portland. And, I was like, oh, I was at church all day. So of course, you know, we had to go there. And, I say that because that can be such a polarizing conversation for people. Well,
right.
she was very open.
Wow.
She's like, well, my fiance and I, she's going to get married next summer. My fiance and I, both grew up in church. We do not go to church. She's like, oh, a bunch of girls in the salon go to Journey. When I told her what church it was.
Wow.
And she had nothing but good things to say
come
about
on.
It. And so I took a step and I invited her. I was like, you're welcome anytime to come.
Praise God.
Cause they're talking about having a kid. And,
yes.
and she said, well, we want to raise our kids in church, which is so funny.
Yes.
But
we all need Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're young or you're old, if you're rich or you're poor. more. We all need Jesus.
Yes.
So when you have kids, that reality hits hard.
Like, absolutely.
Like, and clearly, I don't know what I'm doing.
Clearly, they were raised in the church. And so that was a part of both of their childhoods.
Okay.
And so I think as they're thinking towards their family.
They're coming home.
Yeah, they want to come home. And so I invite her and I hope I'm praying for her and I hope to see her at church one day. I think that's going to be a story that is not over yet.
Yes.
So anyway, the power of an invitation. I completely agree.
Yes. And believing God's best, even over this region, that every single person in Central Oregon shall be saved.
Yes. Amen.
That we're going to still believe. And even if it seems like sometimes we advance two steps forward and the enemy hits us hard and we go one step back. Listen, this is real. You know, sometimes there's massive victories just like we experienced this week.
Yes.
Then other times there's massive
setbacks.
Yes, that's a good word, setback. I was going to say casualties, but that's not true.
Well,
because we have victory in Jesus' name.
Yes, it's a setback.
It's a setback because really we're taking ground and sometimes it doesn't happen as quickly or as easily as we would like.
Yes.
But we always get to see it.
Yes.
I mean, I got to see that today praying with Ruslan, a Ukrainian who's here, who just believes, and is such a great reminder that it's already been finished. We're just thanking God and believing for what's already been done.
Yeah. Amen.
He's already tetelestai. It's already, it's all been paid in full. He did the work for us. Mm. Now we just receive it by faith.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we invite people into it.
Amen. We do.
Yeah. So maybe we could transition to a couple of questions that we had people ask.
We
threw out on one of the last podcasts. If you have any questions for us, let us know. We had a few come in. So let's touch on those.
If you ever want to ask questions, please just DM us on any of our social media platforms and we will get to those even if we don't let you know. But we had several come in over the last few weeks and I thought we could go through some of those. One of them happened to do with deliverance, Kara. And it was the question that was asked of us specifically, have we gone through deliverance? Mm. Let me just bring it up here. It was regarding when we do a Q&A episode, which we're not doing an entire episode, but we'll at least finish this episode on this. And in the future, if you've got more, it'll be a lot of fun to be able to answer questions and ask anything personal, spiritual, any of the above. So with this question for both you and me, Kara, have we been through deliverance and what was that like for us? And then they also explained if it's too personal or whatnot that, you know, we don't have to answer that. But let me just go through that. And by the way, Justin, thank you for the question. Have we been through deliverance? Well, I would say I've always known of a spiritual warfare. I've always known of demonic, but specifically, I did not practice deliverance until more recently.
Yeah.
I mean,
until we were so desperate.
Right. And I certainly, when I got saved, I was born again, blood bought, and, you know, put all those things into practice. But we got so burned out in 2022. Mm-hmm. We were just broken and we felt very alone and isolated. And we thankfully got connected with several really healthy churches.
Yeah.
And we went on a 3-month sabbatical that completely reset us spiritually. Mm-hmm. We got into God's word. We prayed more frequently and we went to church regularly as a family. Those things literally were the beginning of our deliverance.
Yes.
And then I started studying about spiritual warfare, reading some authors that have had strong influences, particularly in the last few hundred years. Charles Craft, Derek Prince, David Wilkerson, and many, many others. I mean, we talked about one of those books that shaped us. I'm going to have to bring up the author because I never remember that book that Carl Payne, the spiritual warfare book, and many others. I'd be happy to list others if anyone's interested. But all that to say is I started consuming these books and understanding the authority we have over the enemy that God has given us in Jesus Christ. And that's when my personal deliverance started happening, literally doing, and this is what deliverance looks like. And you can go in and get professional deliverance. So just for our audience that might have different backgrounds and views, and it might be new to you, or maybe you come from different tribes or different belief systems, but you can go to counseling and certain Christian counselors will do deliverance. But in a deliverance, you go through every area of your life, including your own personal sins that you've committed, sins that were committed against you, and then generational. Are there any connections that aren't of God that the devil could have gotten a foothold in generational curses or sins or so forth? And so you do your own self-examination. Now, in counseling, someone's going to walk you through this. Mm. Over the past few years, I've done my own personal reflection or deliverance, if you will. Mm-hmm. Even to the point, more recently, Kara, you and I have processed this. I'm going to get incredibly vulnerable, where I've just done a lot of self-examination of what's going on right now, mm-hmm. and even accusations that were brought against me. And I had to do like my own, do I have any unforgiveness right now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I even sought outside counsel on that. Like, I think I forgive. Like, I don't mm-hmm. think I have any unforgiveness. And this particular counselor is like, well, then I don't think you're not harboring bitterness or unforgiveness. And then he just flipped the script and said, well, how about yourself? Have you forgiven yourself? And I did self-examination. I'm like, I think so. Like, mm-hmm. I really believe I'm a child of God, and I know who I am. And he said, you're forgiven. He's like, usually the Holy Spirit right away will convict you if you haven't forgiven yourself. You know, self-loathing, pity, insecurity, and all the things I've really struggled with in my past. Mm. And so a part of my own deliverance has been my own self-examination. And then that's not enough, though, to acknowledge what you've done wrong. It's not even enough just to confess it. But now you have to receive it in Jesus' name, mm-hmm. and replace it with the promises of God.
Yes.
So confessing generational curses, which one of the questions we'll talk about in a moment is, how did we get into ministry? Because mm-hmm. both of us come from unchurched family backgrounds. So anything that I'm even unknowingly carrying from my family lineage, my mother, my father, my grandparents on both sides, mm-hmm. there's stuff that I may not even know, but I'm mm-hmm. just going to break those. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cancel them in the name of Jesus Christ and receive all the promises I have now as mm-hmm. a child of God in Jesus' name.
Amen.
To receive and believe, as John chapter 1 tells us. So that's been a part of my own deliverance story. It's been a powerful one, being set free, because for us, and we've testified this from the pulpit on Sundays, mm-hmm. our marriage has been healed.
Yeah.
You know, and absolutely. I'd say we're still healing from past traumas, but it's been God gets all the glory. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, to God be the glory, because it's not been our hard work and efforts. It's been a deliverance.
Yeah.
That which Amen. The enemy sought to destroy, because we've had a difficult marriage. People don't know all the details, and nor do they need to know. But we went through our own brokenness mm-hmm. that our Lord has healed.
Yeah.
And I attribute that to deliverance. Mm. A demonic activity that was operating in my life.
And mine.
Yes, and yours. And then literally being delivered. And mm-hmm. so how do you go through deliverance? Let's just walk through that. Well, first you confess your faith. You thank God for who he is and what he's done for you. So we're going to acknowledge who has the supremacy of your life. And specifically out loud, you're going to dictate and determine who you believe in. Is Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. your Savior, the Lord of your life, the King of all kings. Now, this is not a formula, by the way, but you're acknowledging the supremacy of Jesus. He was born in the flesh, Jesus of Nazareth, that you're acknowledging all of the titles and promises. Now, you don't need to say the right words. This is a belief. Second is you're going to confess then anything you know, or even that you don't know.
Yeah.
So you're going to get really specific and confess, Lord, forgive me for, and then get specific on what those things are. Even if it's things that you've done accidentally, these are trespasses or iniquities that you've done unknowingly, naively, confessing them, because what you're doing is repenting.
Yeah.
And repentance is a changed thinking that I don't want to go back to anything that's not of you, God. Now you're also going to essentially acknowledge or rebuke the enemy. What you constantly see Jesus do is speak towards a demonic spirit and cancel that curse. Mm-hmm. He would silence spirits. He would cast them out. He would say, be gone. I mean, there's a number of examples. So you can do this by rebuking the devil, renouncing any demons, canceling all curses, essentially acknowledging that this is spiritual and giving rights to Jesus Christ. Then finally, you're going to receive the promise of mm-hmm. Jesus. That is his righteousness. as Paul talks about the armor of God, it's the breastplate of righteousness. You're going to receive the promises of God, mm-hmm. that there's a new covenant by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're in his family. You've been guaranteed this by the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
according to Ephesians chapter 1. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. So now you receive those promises. Mm-hmm. New joy. That's the new wine scripture talks about.
Amen.
You have new life. You're going to receive the promises and start thanking God for them. So that's a short.
Yeah, very, that's good. You know, I feel like that's really practical. It's tools that we can walk away with that, mm-hmm. That are helpful in the deliverance process.
Yes.
So, I mean, for me, like, this whole process of freedom and deliverance was the same as for you. And for me, it started in that season of just severe brokenness, mm-hmm. of like when you get to such a low place,
yes.
You have options, you know, you can turn a few different ways, mm-hmm. and we turn to Jesus.
Amen.
And that was the beginning of our healing. It was the beginning of our deliverance. It was the beginning of being set free.
Yes.
From so many things.
Because the options are, detrimental and hurtful. The enemy wants to keep us where we are. In fact, he wants to take us further from God.
Yeah, I mean, he wants us to go to substances.
Amen.
He wants us to go to other spouses or depression. I mean, he really does want us to go anything but Jesus.
Yes.
So the right answer is always Jesus.
Yes. And ultimately, suicide is the option. People think, I can't do it anymore. I'd be better if I would be gone. And those are the things. I mean, we described it prior to our full deliverance as being on a hamster wheel.
Yes.
That you're trying so hard in life and you're just exhausted, and you get off the hamster wheel and you realize you're still in the same place.
Yeah. I haven't even moved.
And it just felt like that daily. Like, yeah. I'm trying, Lord. I'm working hard.
Yeah.
And yet you didn't go, you're in the same place.
Yeah. You made no ground.
And that's where you know you need deliverance,
yeah.
is because God doesn't leave you where you, mm-hmm. are. When you encounter Jesus,
yes.
There's always transformation.
Always. In his presence, there's always change.
Amen. With the presence of God,
yes.
there's change. And so you've got to acknowledge that. And when you are holding on to addiction or any type of sin, any sin, unforgiveness, pride, gluttony, any sin at all.
Yeah.
Lust. You give legal rights to the enemy into your life.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the demonic will torment you,
mm-hmm.
because you're giving rights of your soul, saying, I'm not giving God access to, mm-hmm. that area.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus died for all areas. So anytime we allow that, we're not letting room for full deliverance.
Yeah.
And so that's where that self-examination comes.
And right, that's why God hates sin, you know?
Yes.
Like he doesn't hate sin because he wants to create rules for us.
Mm.
Like I think I heard someone say once, what am I thinking of? God hates sin because it breaks us, you know, like it. Anyway, it's, and that's why it's not because we have to live under these rules that are just from this dictator,
Amen.
You know, it's because it holds us back in darkness.
And this is from the beginning in the garden with the original sin, the original curse of sin. You look at the Israelites over and over, God gave them a clear word, a promise and a blessing to obeying his commandments. And yet they continued to follow false gods. And when you sin, it will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. You'll end up in a place you don't want to be in. Sin is absolutely awful. And in the moment, you don't realize the seriousness of it.
Yeah.
And that's what we're being delivered from. The devil's curse. This is sin.
And the beauty, I would also say the beauty of Jesus and the beauty of the gospel is that there is therefore now no condemnation in Jesus. So we don't have to feel ashamed or condemned for sin because Jesus has paid for it all.
Romans 8:1,
so
there's
we just,
therefore now.
Yeah, no condemnation.
Let's go.
We just have to confess it.
Let's go.
And he's faithful and just to forgive us when we confess it.
Receive deliverance, friends.
Absolutely.
Yes. So that's the place where we do self-examinations in our hearts. If you aren't at that place. Now, also there's the laying on of hands. I know over the last few years, we've done that, mm-hmm. more than ever. I mean, with health issues,
mm-hmm.
health issues with your eyes originally 2 years ago, with your ears. And we're continuing to learn that process, mm-hmm. and the power. This is what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, don't forget that you had hands laid on you,
like
fan into flame the gift of God. And he says, because God did not give you a spirit of fear,
right?
But it's a spirit of power and love and self-control. It's not of timidity, or he doesn't want us to operate in being oppressed by demons. So yeah. Hopefully that answered that question, Justin.
But we do, if you're local in Bend, we do have local, specifically I can think of one that I know of, you know, counselor that does deliverance and it's effective.
Oh, and we do it here at Journey Church. Yeah. People make appointments all the time.
That's true. Thank you.
And it's not always in one session. Sometimes we got to go deep. We got to go into your childhood. What trauma caused certain areas of torment that maybe the enemy took advantage of and is still tormenting you this day. So if you want deliverance at Journey Church, we do it all the time, not just on Sundays, but during the week, especially if there's deeper issues, and we'd be happy to walk through that with you.
Yeah.
One more question.
Sure. Yeah.
This one's from Carolyn, and she asked, so many people she's seen in ministry, and I'm just paraphrasing her question here, that she's witnessed, they've been generational. The parents were in ministry, grandparents were in ministry. So your parents were pastors, your grandparents were pastors, therefore you become a pastor. Now, we've shared on this podcast, we both come from unchurched homes, and yet we started a church. Here we are now co-lead pastors of Journey Church. Many years later, we've been married 20 years. So how did we recognize that we were called? How did we know that we would be pastors? And what did that look like? Mm-hmm. So she just asked us to speak into that.
Yeah.
How do you know you're called? How do you know you'd become a pastor? If you didn't grow up in this thing, how would you know? So Kara, do you want to answer that? Or do you want me
to
answer?
I can start. Okay. I mean, I can't speak for you, but...
You can, probably.
I probably can tell you a story, yes, but I'll let you. For me... I don't, you know, like you said, I wasn't raised in a churched home, but I remember loving Jesus at like the age of five. I was in Sunday school at the age of five, I remember one time, and I remember loving Jesus. And and from that point forward, like...
Childlike faith right there.
Yeah, and I just knew that my life needed to count for something, like something more than just... myself, mm-hmm. or just hedonism, or just enjoying life. Like I always knew that. And so I couldn't have told you growing up that I was going to be in ministry. I was going to be married to someone in ministry at all. That's definitely not what I could have, what I would have written or said that planned for myself. But, I obviously married you, and
let's go back to that moment.
Okay.
So we've been married over 20 years, everybody. Praise God. Come on, give us a hand, everybody. So 20 years of God's goodness and faithfulness watching this redemption story. So we met, you were teaching at a high school.
Yes.
I was a youth pastor. This is in Southern California. And man, you were interested in spiritual things. You wanted to go to church. I had some students in my youth ministry that were in your classes. You connected to them, said, where do you guys go to church? I was on campus just doing my ministry thing, visiting them at a prayer club, just trying to support them. You walked in the room. Here's what happened, friends. Love at first sight. For me, not her. Man, I fell in love. I think she was turned off. But it was from that point forward, we started dating. And that's a long story because you weren't as into me as I was into you. But eventually, I don't know how, but you said yes. Now, I remember that first year of marriage. It was tumultuous because you even said, verbalized out loud, like, I didn't sign up to be a pastor's wife. Like, I never thought I would get married to a pastor because it was weird.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it
was weird for me because I had no concept of it. My whole life was like sports.
Yes.
Like, I was a gym rat. I played sports through college. That was my circle of friends always. And so this was such a foreign world to me that I wasn't opposed to it at all. Yes. I just was very unfamiliar with it.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, at that point, I hadn't even been a believer in Jesus for 10 years. So church was even relatively new to me. You know, I'd been attending church less than I'd been alive. So at that point, well, that didn't even make sense, did it? Attending church for less time that I was not a Christian and not attending church is what I was trying to say. So I had more time on this planet not going to church than I had going to church when we met and I was in ministry. And so it's not like I had this all this whole thing figured out as well. Yeah. Here's all I knew is our callings were real similar in the sense that even as a child, and when I believed in Jesus, this did not change. As a child, I knew that I was going to do something in this world. I wanted to make an impact in the world.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just about making money. It wasn't just, I wanted to do something with my life. And I didn't know what that would look like. But when I got saved, God affirmed that through calling. I wanted to change people's lives in Jesus. I wanted them to know Jesus. And that's why I went into youth ministry. My life was changed as a teenager. I wanted other teenagers' lives to be changed. I mean, I was barely a kid when I started youth ministry. I dropped out of college and went into full-time youth ministry. And then you made me go back to college. I mean, that was it was this ongoing journey. So part of it is this unfolding of what does God press upon your heart? And for us, we wanted to do more. Now, I wanted to do church differently. And, you know, as we shared about that, we did share an affinity that sometimes church is for churched people. And since we didn't grow up in church, we both agreed like, man, church shouldn't suck.
You know, well, and I specifically had experiences just in college life where I tried to get involved in the circles of like InterVarsity and Fellowship of Christian Athletes, you know, FCA. And I always had the hardest, and this wasn't even church per se, these are parachurch ministries, but
With Christians.
And I wish this wasn't my experience, but my experience has always been with Christians is that it is an insider's club. It is so hard to get into. It's an us four and no more mentality. And we definitely share that affinity.
Yes.
And that's one of my like passions in when we started Journey was like, if we're going to do church, we're going to do it different. And that's not the culture we're going to create because I don't think that is the heart of God in any way, shape or form.
Amen. And that was really, from the beginning, we said, we're going to start a church for people who don't like church. And that was essentially our heart is to say, if you're disconnected in any way, we want to create an environment. We want to create a church that we would want to go to. So we started Journey Church 14 years ago. And I would love to say we were just on the same page, but we had 3 young kids, 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and a brand new baby. And now we can look back and joke about it. We can talk about these stories, but they were traumatic years.
Yeah, they were.
They were traumatic years. I think we both had the same heart that we loved the Lord. We wanted to see God do something differently. But when you start a church, it's scary.
Yeah.
You don't know where the money's going to come from. People you've invested in leave you. I mean, there's just a lot of heartache
so
in those
many
early years
too.
Of starting a church. And I mean, I would liken it to like a caveman. You know, that I was dragging your hair and I had a big stick in my hand and I was just like, submit, woman, you know, like we're going to do this and you're going to see God work. And that did not work as well as I thought it would.
Yeah, it was. Well, it caused a lot of trauma. And
yes.
I don't put all the blame on you. Like I was so young in my faith. The only experiences I had were churches that were old, you know, like, I really genuinely fully didn't understand that a church was planted at one point. I don't even know what went through my mind, but
a lot of people don't know where churches come from. There's just first church
they're
down
just
the street.
There,
yeah. Right? There's Second Baptist.
When you started casting this vision to me, I went with it up until the point where it was like, okay, you're actually serious. And that's when I started pushing back on it was we have very young children. This is so, not stable or not secure, you know, we can't count on it. What if this thing doesn't work, you know? Yeah. So, but that was all very fleshly. So I'm young, I'm fairly young in my faith at that point. And you're talking big dreams and you run on faith. And I've learned that. I feel like I've come a really long way from where I was, but I'm wired just differently, you know, like if I go off my temperament and my wiring, it's just much more, business-like. That's the best way I could put it. Like every 2 + 2 = 4. Like that's how I was raised. My dad's an accountant. Like
Dave Ramsey says that you're the nerd and I'm the free spirit.
Right. So I, being the nerd, looked at it on paper and saying, this is never going to work.
This doesn't make sense.
Yeah. We're setting ourselves up for failure here. But you, on the other hand, are the free spirit that walks by faith. Mm. And I've learned a lot from you. So,
amen.
I think we're better together.
Oh, and I've learned a lot from you, Kara. You've made my life better. You've made this church better. You pursue excellence. And, you know, in this, I would say to answer Carolyn's question, a lot of it has just been taking a step of faith. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you don't even know where that step's going to be, but you get out of the boat, if you will.
Yeah.
All because you're keeping your eyes on Jesus. He somehow does a miracle. So Amen. Somehow, if you want to affirm a calling, whether it's in vocational ministry or just in whatever God's calling you to do, sometimes you don't have it all figured out. But you just take that step of faith. And for us, we did just that. And God has redeemed those broken areas that we did have trauma early in our marriage. And there was brokenness on how we handled it and our immaturity. And now we can look back and even say in demonic influence.
Yes.
But now we can say we've been set free.
Yes.
We've been healed. We're continuing to be healed. And it's been an affirmation. And we continue to acknowledge that as we grow in that. And now we're leading together.
Yeah. It's a new season.
Yes.
And I'm thankful because, I mean, I've helped behind the scenes from day one.
Yes.
I mean, the first few years I was really heavily involved as much as I could with our little kids, you know, mm-hmm. and then there was a season there for 4 or 5 years where I really backed out. Mm-hmm. I have a real estate business and I was really busy and I just kind of threw myself into that and completely disengaged for the most part. I served on Sundays, but that was it. But I really felt like while we were, out on that 3 month sabbatical that mm-hmm. really reset us and changed our lives. Like I just really felt like it was, God was impressing on me that I just needed to be more present and I needed to reengage in the story of Journey and to be more present. And so that's what I've done since we've gotten back, you know? And it's literally, I was having coffee with someone today and I was explaining that to her. It's literally like, what do you have for me today, God?
Amen.
That's honestly how I'm walking in my life.
That's good.
What do you have for me today? I'm going to be present and I'm going to be faithful.
Yes.
And right now that looks like showing up for a podcast and,
come on.
And it looks like showing houses when I need to show houses and being at, staff meetings when I'm in staff meetings mm-hmm. and just being present.
Amen.
So I'm thankful for the season we're in.
That's so good. You know, so each of us will receive calling differently. Sometimes you're prophesied over, you receive a word. Sometimes God will affirm something through his specific divine word through the scriptures. But other times, you know, there's just something, a rumbling, a holy discontentment that you have to be the solution. You have to step in. And for us, that's what we did with Journey Church. I mean, there's times that we want to run and walk away, but God has not released that. He's just confirmed over and over and over again.
Yeah.
That this is where he has us. And while he has you there, he's going to provide for you.
Amen.
And he's going to be the one that does it. And he does. He's never not provided.
Yes.
We've never not gotten a paycheck. We've never not seen God show up.
Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes it's differently than we thought it was, but man, that's how you know God's hand is in this. When he gets the glory, because he does what only he can do. So that's been fun. So if you have questions, let us know and we will try to answer them.
Yes.
The best that we can, the most honest we can, because this whole process for us of Confessions of Pastor is just a chance for us to get real. It's a part of it is the documentation of recording these stories so that we can remember and celebrate. Look what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you
Amen.
Wouldn't know these stories unless we otherwise share it. And so we are encouraged and blessed just to have, I've been lately the last few weeks calling you confessioners, but just to have really people encourage us and let us know that you're actually listening to this. It's a blessing to us. Mm-hmm. So if you made it this far and you would even hit the subscribe button or give us a rating or share with somebody else, that's just it's a little tiny thing that actually ends up making a big difference in the long run. So for that, we're grateful.
Yeah.
Kara, how about I close this in prayer today? I believe we hit a record today.
I think we might have.
Come on. But this has been a lot of fun.
It has
So if
been.
You made it this far, it's been yes. fun hanging out with you. We love you so much. Lord, we also want to say we love you. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. That God, you take us. You don't leave us where we are. As we read through the Psalms, you lifted us up. You've taken us from the miry clay. And God, I just ask that you would continue to do more. I thank you that you're the God that could do far more, abundantly more, exceedingly more than we can ask or even imagine. So we're come before you now and we thank you in advance for what you're going to do, that there will be people hearing this today that will be delivered, that they're going to trust you, Jesus, and you're going to do what you do best. We thank you that you're in the transformation business. You're still healing us physically. You're still healing us and setting us free from demons. That God, we can learn so much from Mary Magdalene as we seek you and we find you. And Lord, we want to take your word where Jeremiah says, we will seek you and find you when we seek you with all our hearts. So I just just pray that for the listeners, that we would seek you with all of our hearts and that we would be beyond blessed because you're a great God. You're so much greater than I can even describe here. So I just thank you for being the God that we trust in. Lord, we love you and thank you for these testimonies today of what you're doing. And we just say, God, we want you to do more, that every single soul in Central Oregon shall be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us on The Journey of Confessions of a Pastor. Please hit subscribe and rate. We are better together. See you next time.